This news brief brought to you by the International News Net.
U.S. officials say there's growing evidence Pakistan's ISI spy agency encouraged a Pakistani militant group, the Haqqani Network, to carry out last week's attack on the U.S. Embassy and NATO headquarters in Kabul. A U.S. Senate committee voted this week to make $1 billion in U.S. aid to flood-ravaged Pakistan, conditional on a crackdown on militant groups. Former Afghan President Burhanuddin Rabbani was killed Tuesday in a suicide bombing. A survivor of the attack, an aide to the former president, said Rabbani was lured to his death by the bomber, who claimed he was representing a mysterious figure mediating between the government and the Taliban's senior leadership. NATO leaders Wednesday authorized a 90-day extension of the alliance's mission in Libya. NATO began enforcement of a four-month no-fly zone over Libya in March. NATO fighter jets have flown more than 20,000 sorties over Libya, dropping thousands of bombs to take out Muammar Gaddafi's command centers and military materiel. Hundreds of civilians have been reported killed. Amnesty International says it has uncovered evidence that rebel forces in Libya have committed gross human rights abuses, some amounting to war crimes. The rights group also reveals the Western media deliberately ignored or covered up the widespread atrocities. In a report released Tuesday, Amnesty accuses the rebels of unlawful killings, arbitrary arrests, and widespread torture of civilians, mostly black foreigners. The report also confirms widely held concerns about the NTC's ability to unite the country and oversee a peaceful transition. Many attacks are focused on blacks suspected of being sympathetic to ousted dictator Muammar Gaddafi. The report states angry groups of supporters of the February 17th revolution shot, hanged, and lynched dozens of captured soldiers and suspected foreign mercenaries, and did so with total impunity. Gaddafi's supporters have accused NATO of killing up to 800 civilians. Amnesty says both the NTC and Gaddafi's forces are to blame. U.S. combat troops in Iraq may be heading to the exits, but the U.S. government's enormously expensive intervention there is hardly coming to an end. U.S. officials are planning to expand the gargantuan embassy in Baghdad, a heavily fortified, self-contained compound the size of Vatican City, by far the largest embassy the world has ever seen. Inside its high walls, guard towers and machine gun emplacements ring not just the embassy itself, but more than 20 other buildings. The number of personnel under the authority of the U.S. ambassador will swell from 8,000 to about 16,000.
More details on these stories, visit innworldreport.net.
You are listening to the Rule of Law Radio Network at ruleoflawradio.com. Live free speech talk radio at its best.
Hi, you're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, and it's the 10th of October 2011. Welcome to another show. My name's Herewood Fenton. Truth News Radio Australia is brought to you with the smell of an oily rag. And it's tough, but we do it because someone's got to do it. And I'm going to keep the pressure up. I'm going to keep putting shows out intensively over the next few weeks. My main focus is now the carbon tax. Today's show is going to be primarily occupied with the carbon tax. I've got a couple of other things to talk about, but we've got an interview coming up with a lady from Brisbane, Tempe Harvey, who has been doing some excellent things to raise awareness and also to do some community polling with an excellent technique she's been using to poll drivers as they pass by to get a realistic sense of what the support is for the carbon tax, and it's minimal. It's like 10%. And this is quite a reliable indicator. Basically, of all the motorists going by, she's actually monitoring their responses, and she's giving them a sign to say either your thumbs up or thumbs down, and she's getting 90% thumbs down for the carbon tax. So what we have this week with the government planning to pass the legislation through Parliament, they do have the numbers, is a total travesty of democracy. It is not democracy. It is a fascist, tyrannical power grab. Now, at the same time as this power grab is gaining momentum in federal government, we've got a people's movement which is sweeping the world, and Occupy Wall Street, as it was originally called, is now Occupy Everything, Occupy Australia. We have Occupy Sydney, we have Occupy Melbourne, we have Occupy Brisbane, and there will be an Occupy Sydney protest event on October the 15th at 10 a.m. in Hyde Park, Sydney. Now, I've just been looking at the Facebook page for this group, Occupy Australia, and while I do think there's a lot of important stuff in there, unfortunately, the carbon tax is not even mentioned as one of the issues that they are concerned about. And this gives me great concern, ladies and gentlemen. This gives me great concern for what this Occupy movement really is. I know that there are many people in it who are totally genuine. I'd say probably most of them, 90% probably, are totally genuine in their motivation for wanting to join such a protest against the big banks and the financial corporatist cartels, which are squeezing us and making us all into slaves, vassals of the corporatist fascist state. But the directions, or the policy directions in which the protests are being led, because I don't see any mention of the carbon tax on the main Occupy Australia page, this is a red light. This is a red flag, okay? There is a big problem here, because the carbon tax is undemocratic. It is also a corporatist fascist move run by banks, okay? So either those of us who are part of the aware proportion of the population need to get more involved in this Occupy movement, or we need to distance ourselves from it, one or the other. But just be aware that there is potentially a wedge developing here, a polarization developing between well-intentioned parts of our society who have a lot of grievances with the government and big business, but keeping those groups separate, in the sense of saying, well, you know, we've got this group of anti-banking, sort of socialist-oriented protesters over here, and we've got sort of extremists who are right-wing, you know, anti-environments over here. That actually depletes the power of the real movement. It undermines the real movement. And that is exactly what the oligarchs would always want. That's what they always want to happen. They love it. They rub their hands with glee when they see this. And of course, they actually try to engineer it as well. That is their objective, is to engineer sectarian divisions within the slave population. Okay, so this is an emergency call. I really want everyone who is listening to this show to go to the Occupy Australia event with your carbon tax signs and educate everyone there about what we stand for in opposing a carbon tax. It is absolutely essential, and there is no excuse for not participating. We cannot allow a divided situation to develop. We have to build unity, but we cannot step back from opposing the carbon tax. So that's my message today, and I'm going to keep repeating that, and I'm going to keep doing shows on the carbon tax, and I'm going to continue to support the Occupy Australia movement, but I'm never going to compromise on what's important and what is of real value and what is essential for democracy and freedom for this country. So I'll just read you here from the Facebook page for Occupy Australia Sydney. In Australia, we have our own shit to deal with. Sorry for the expletive there. That was from the Facebook page. And our own demands. In New South Wales, the state government has just... Okay, there's a bit of more expletives in this Facebook page, which is a bit of a concern considering it's a public page. The government has been doing bad things. And we can be sure that they will try to push the same industrial relations reforms on private sector workers, not to mention in other states. At the same time, the federal Labor government, which won power from John Howard back in 2007, based on complete and utter revulsion at the coalition's Work Choices reforms, tinkered around the edges, with the result being dubbed Work Choices Lite by workers around the country. Not stopping there in its disregard for Australian workers, the ABCC, the anti-union police, have not been removed from office or stripped of their ASIO powers. Now, it seems like the person who's written up this page has a strong union background, obviously an emphasis there on work choices. And this could just be a random thing. I mean, this could just be, well, this is one Facebook page, one manifestation of a group. Let me just go to a couple of articles here from Indie Media in Australia. Okay, I'm just going to... Occupy Sydney Reserve Bank, Martin Place Occupation. Now, this could be a different event. OccupySydney@gmail.com is the contact. And there is actually, and I've only just discovered this now, there is another website called OccupySydney@blogspot.com. Tell the world about Occupy Sydney your way. Fresh off the press and just tested, we announce Occupy Martin Place, the only place where you can live tweet from the Occupy Sydney people's voice. So that is a Twitter stream. And there's information here. Stop bank greed. Join the 99% Faceless People's Assembly to Occupy Sydney, 2 p.m., 15th of October, outside the Reserve Bank. Okay, this one looks like a little bit more interesting to me just because they're actually choosing the Reserve Bank, which we know the central reserve banks of the world really are the source of the evil that's actually dominating the planet. So I'll be putting this information on our notes, and I will be there if anyone wants to join me. I will be there. I'll be at this Occupy event outside the Reserve Bank on the 15th of October. Okay, well, just getting back to the carbon tax. It's due to go to the floor of Parliament on Wednesday this week. That'll be the 12th of October. And according to the numbers in Parliament, the carbon tax will pass. But the government is in so much trouble. The government is under so much pressure. There are new movements against the carbon tax, even now springing up. I mean, I've got a story here from the ABC from this morning. Manufacturers form new group to oppose carbon tax. Dick Warburton, who is a businessman and former Reserve Bank board member, said this today on national radio. I would like to see the carbon tax deferred, if not voted down, but certainly deferred until we have a clearer picture of what is going on in the rest of the world. It seems quite wrong to be going ahead of the rest of the world when, in fact, countries are actually pulling out of carbon taxes and ETSs, and therefore for us to go ahead with very little protection of the emissions at a distinct disadvantage to our economy just does not seem right. And the interviewer here said, "You say that the carbon tax could be potentially devastating for manufacturing. Can you explain why you believe that's the case?" And he says, as long as there is going to be a tax of this nature on manufacturing in Australia, which is not comparable to any other countries in which manufacturing is carried out in that area, that has to be a disadvantage. It is a disadvantage and gradually would lead to probable losses of jobs and probable plant closures. Now, the dissent against the carbon tax is overwhelming, okay? But the government does have the numbers in the House. But the government is in a lot of trouble even passing some of the other bills that it wants to pass, particularly the new amendments to the Border Protection Act, which are likely to go down in the House because the government does not have the numbers to pass that bill. So the government, in its ability to actually conduct its affairs, is actually in big trouble. And of course, there are the ongoing scandals with Craig Johnson and the police investigations of that sitting MP, which could lead to his stand down, which would also force a new election. And bear in mind that even if this legislation does go through on Wednesday, which it probably will, we have to assume that, it doesn't go into effect for another 10 months or so. And at any time during that period, there could be another election and the act could be repealed. So we also have to realize that we are going to win. We are on the strongest possible position to overturn this. And the mere fact that the legislation will be passed through this week should not cause people to become demoralized, should not cause them to lose the conviction that we can and will overturn this. Back straight after the break with our interview with Tempe Harvey.
Corn and Bullion is a family-owned and operated business that has helped many families and friends in protecting their assets, and we would like to do the same for you. In addition to coins and bullion, we now offer Patriot safes, ammunition, Berkey water products, gift certificates, wristbands, and our new silver pool, a new way to guarantee silver by prepaying at a locked price. We can even help you set up a metals IRA account. Call us at 512-646-6440 for more details. As always, we buy, sell, and trade precious metals and cater to those with all sizes of coin collections. We're located at 7304 Burnett Road, Suite A, about a half a mile north of Koenig, next to the Ikebon Sushi and the Genie Car Wash. We're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturdays, 10 to 5. Visit us at CapitalCoinAndBullion.com or call 512-646-6440.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Maris Proven Method. Michael Maris has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Maris Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Maris banner or email michaelmaris@yahoo.com. That's ruleoflawradio.com or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. Welcome back to the show. Today I am bringing onto the show Tempe Harvey, who has a Master of Laws, practiced for 10 years as a solicitor and currently works full-time in her role as mother of four children in Brisbane. But she is also, as I mentioned earlier, leading a one-woman protest against the carbon tax, and she's done some really amazing work, which really shows you what you can do if you're motivated and you are... You can achieve amazing things. And if we had just even a larger number of people who are just motivated to just get out there and just do things on their own, we could achieve so much. Tempe's interest in politics led her to found Kids First Parent Association of Australia in 2009 to lobby the federal government to end childcare funding discrimination against the majority of families opting for parent care. On the economic front, Tempe is dedicated to defeating both the carbon tax and the political party behind it, the Greens. To this end, she has designed a simple and highly effective low-cost campaign to do so. So she has a what's called a roadside campaign, and we're going to hear more about that. And I'd just like to say welcome to the show, Tempe, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Harold.
Yeah, look... I heard about what you were doing from a few people, and it was on the radio here in Sydney, and I believe it was picked up by 2UE just randomly because one of the 2UE presenters saw you on the street. Is that correct?
That's right. That was a real stroke of luck. As I explained in that interview, I've been running this campaign for about 9 weeks in Brisbane and with other anti-carbon tax protesters around Australia. And it was meant to be sort of under the radar campaign, to be honest, because we're not going to get much help from the media with this because we're going straight to the people. That's the idea of the campaign, to circumvent the media. But having said that, Jason Morrison, who happened to see me in peak hour traffic about a week or so ago in Sydney, he was very interested and gave me an opportunity to speak about the campaign, which I wasn't going to knock back.
Yeah, and that was an excellent interview. And so when did you first start doing your street protests?
Well, back in July, after much thought, I decided that this campaign would work. And simply, for anyone who doesn't know, the campaign involves printing off a large sign or making your own sign that says no carbon tax, or some other very simple message, and holding it beside busy roads where there's a good traffic flow, and just simply standing there. One of the things that we're doing also is counting the responses for and against the sign. Initially, my idea was that we would try and persuade people to realise how dangerous the carbon tax is. But the more people I've spoken to, the more I realise people have already made up their minds. And luckily, it's 10 to 1 against the tax. So all we have to do is convert that into a vote against the tax, which is what I plan to do.
Absolutely. And of course, in order for that to happen, we are going to need an election. That will need to occur presumably before the tax becomes passed into law. I mean, it will go into legislation but potentially this Wednesday, but it won't go into effect until, I believe, the 1st of July 2012. Is that the plan?
That's right. But look, this is such a bad tax. We have to be prepared to get rid of it come what may. So the worst case scenario is, number one, the law gets passed through the House of Reps this week and through the Senate in due course. Number two, that it actually is implemented on the 1st of July 2012. Then even worse, that we have to then have an election and defeat it when it's actually in operation. But we could still repeal the tax, and we will repeal the tax if it does actually come in. That's the end game.
Look, I feel you're right. There's a lot to feel despondent about. There's a lot to feel really, you know, desperate about in the situation. But there's also the simple fact that we have the numbers, but we have to, you know, I think we're just in this really unusual phase now of civilization where we have to realize, the people have to start realizing their own power. And, you know, it's like we have the power, but we don't recognize that we have it. I don't know. There's an analogy that someone told me years ago about a circus elephant that was like, apparently, you know, they train the circus elephant to be obedient by tying it to a little post when it's a small little elephant and it can't move, and the elephant tries and tries and it can't get away from the post. But then years later, it's this massive thing, but it still has the little rope tied around its leg, and it gave up trying to actually do anything years ago, and it doesn't think it has the power. Whereas, in fact, it could just pull its leg and rip that thing right out. It's just an analogy, but we do have the power. And I think, you know, shows like this and what we're talking about today is partly motivational to help people understand that, yes, you do have the power. You just got to actually take the steps.
Well, I think what's happening, I think that it's a great analogy. The other analogy, of course, is the frog slowly boiling in the water. You know,
yes.
If you drop a frog in a very hot water, it'll jump out. But what we're facing here is a soft totalitarianism. Australians are in shock because we have a history of, a heritage, I should say, of democracy, which is born out of our wonderful Western civilization. And that is seriously under threat from the inside, not from guns or anything like happened in the Soviet Union, but through a soft glide into soft totalitarianism. And we really faced a shock when Julia Gillard backtracked on her promise not to introduce the carbon tax. People are still reeling from that shock. But what they need to realise is, to anyone who understands how totalitarianism works, or socialism for that matter, this is quite a normal thing for somebody from that mindset to do. We're facing somebody who believes in socialism, essentially who believes that she knows better what to do with our money and what to do with our lives, and it should come as no surprise to anyone that she broke this promise. What we now need to do is to defend ourselves, and luckily for us, we do have that heritage. Australians don't like being dictated to, and I think all they need to realise is they have a choice, and that choice will face them at the federal election, if not sooner.
Absolutely. And you know, one thing I like to emphasise to a lot of people who regard the word socialism as a positive thing, and a lot of people do, and they're well-intentioned people, and I really don't want to alienate anyone from our campaign. But what I want to emphasize is corporatism and fascism as the underlying reality. However nice they may present it, however well packaged, when they talk about a government safety net and taxes to protect things, whether it's protecting the poor or protecting the environment, and it all sounds really good. And a lot of people who are extremely well intentioned feel that when these things are criticized, they feel that they're being criticized from a selfish perspective. And they see people like you and me, Tempe, as just selfish, capitalist, aggressive people who don't care about the people who drop through the net, the people, you know, the poor, or the environment, you know, or the you mm-hmm. know the little animals or whatever it is that they think's important. And we actually do need to educate everyone to understand that we can have unity on this.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head when you mentioned the word corporatism.
Yeah.
I mean, what the carbon tax is about taking money and decisions away from individuals and giving it to a group of rent seekers who are after our money. And that includes massive injections of corporate welfare. That's why I believe people like Lindsay Fox are behind the carbon tax. I might just say, you know, who has a transport business, every Lynn Fox truck that goes by, every driver gives me a big wave. They're all against the carbon tax, the actual drivers. And that's a great example of how this is really about taking rights away from the little person and giving them to the big one.
Yeah, and, you know, it's these average working people have a very strong view on it. But of course, they don't tend to, they're not activists, you know, they're not the sort of people who have got any kind of history or culture of getting out and protesting, but they have done it. Like, you know, it's amazing what they've done. I mean, the numbers of people who went down to Canberra, the numbers of people who've come to the protests here in Sydney, it's incredible, because these people, it's against their nature to even do that. And it's just, it's a tip of the iceberg thing, isn't it? If that many people are coming out.
It is. Look, the other thing is that I've spoken, because I'm so interested in gathering information on how voters feel, I've spoken to many, many people over the last year about the carbon tax, and I don't tell them anything. I ask them what they think. So typically I say, what do you think about the carbon tax? an open-ended question. And most people are very modest and they don't say anything very much. They mainly say, well, I don't have enough information. That's the main answer I get. And then when I tell them I'm actually campaigning against it, they just relax and they tell me, well, actually, I'm not very happy about it. I'm very concerned about it.
We've just got a break coming up, Tempe, and we'll get straight back into that right after the break.
This is Building 7, a 47-story skyscraper that fell on the afternoon of September 11th.
The government says that fire brought it down. However, 1,500 architects and engineers concluded it was a controlled demolition.
Over 6,000 of my fellow service members have given their lives.
And thousands of my fellow first responders are dying.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
I'm a structural engineer.
I'm a New York City correction officer.
I'm an Air Force pilot.
I'm a father who lost his son.
We're Americans, and we deserve the truth.
Go to rememberbuilding7.org today.
Could printed books soon be a thing of the past? Apparently, a lot of kids these days are exchanging book pages for web pages. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be back to tell you what's happening to literacy.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights, say no to surveillance, and keep your information to yourself. Privacy, it's worth hanging on to. This public service announcement is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Forget books and magazines. A recent study by the UK's National Literacy Trust found that text messages are the number one reading material for kids today, and numbers 2 and 3 are email and Facebook. That's not surprising, since cell phones and computers outnumber novels in most homes. We adults are obviously not setting a very good example. Of course, text messages are not known for their literary quality or for their outstanding spelling and grammar. In fact, they're some of the worst writing around. So if you want your kids to develop basic English skills, tell them to unplug from Facebook and turn off Twitter, then hand them an old-fashioned book. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
Welcome back to the show. I'm talking to Tempe Harvey today from Brisbane, who's leading a really original and really effective campaign against the carbon tax. Tempe, would you like to just continue from where you left off there?
Yes, I was just explaining, Harrowood, that the reaction I get from most people when I ask them what they think about the carbon tax is people freeze, actually, and they say that really they don't have enough information, but they open up a bit when they hear that I'm campaigning against it, and most of them express fear, or what I would call soft scepticism. They don't know enough about it, and as one shop assistant in Brisbane put it beautifully, she said, I don't know what it is quite, but all I know is that anything that has the word tax in it, I'm suspicious about, and I won't support it unless I fully understand it. And I'm just so proud to be an Australian, because that's what most Australians think, and it's a very healthy instinct. And that's the basis of our campaign, is that most people are already against this tax.
Excellent. And can you just explain how your campaign works? You've got some notes here that you've sent me. We've got a free sign that you've actually prepared for people to download. And can you just sort of go through the steps to basically tell people, you know, how can they go ahead and do what you've done?
All right. Well, basically, we're providing a free sign that you can download from the Australian Family Association website. The web address you can go to is www.family.org.au, and what you'll see a big sign there that says "No Carbon Tax." And to meet Australian Electoral Commission requirements, that sign has been authorised. The content of the sign has been authorised by an individual with an address given. But if you're printing it off, you need to put your name and details as as the person who has printed it. And you can print it off on A3 paper, which is double A4, or A2 or A1, which is basically the whole sign on one sheet, which is what it will end up being, which is like a real estate poster. The sign is designed to be seen in traffic from a long way away. It simply says no carbon tax. I've stuck mine onto cardboard, and on the top I've got a big smiley face. My sign actually says smile, no carbon tax. And then what you do is you take the sign out of the boot of your car, if you've got a car, or you walk to a road, and you just stand there with it. And you initially, most people are a bit shy, so you stand there for a bit. Then someone honks at you, then you wave, and then you're off, basically.
Right.
Basically, I've counted the responses, and just about everywhere I've gone, it's about 10 positive responses, waves, smiles, people calling out, and about one against it, 10 to 1.
And do you do you have someone with you who's keeping score?
No, I count. I count the score as I'm going.
Right,
and,
right.
And other campaigners, so far we've got about 10 people in different locations across Australia, but we're working it up. We've got 2 years to campaign. We're working it up to every capital city and every electorate, every ALP electorate, basically. The electorate of any MP who has supported this tax will be targeted. Just some trends that have come up. Well, I've been campaigning across 4 Labor electorates in Brisbane. The campaigner who's been working in Simon Crean's electorate in Melbourne, that the closer you get to working class, low income electorates, the better the response. Mm. The less inhibited or held back people are. Mm. They are reaching out of their windows, they're punching the sky, they're shouting, I'm sad to say, but they're shouting the Prime Minister Julie Gillard's name with not very nice expletives attached to it. That's what we've come to, unfortunately. But they're very happy to see the sign. It's not any old reaction. It's a very strong reaction. You get just a strong reaction from the people who don't like the no carbon tax sign, what I call the green finger, or whatever they hold up. But they're very angry as well. So it's a very, very an issue that people feel really strongly about both ways.
And the government is in big trouble at the moment. And I was describing some of the issues earlier. Obviously, they do have the numbers to pass this legislation, but the government is in trouble even passing some other bills this week. For example, the Border Protection Act amendments, and the government's ability to actually run is actually severely compromised at the moment, because there is just so much opposition to the way the government is running the country. And if we can, you know, is there some way, how do we harness that to the point of bringing about a new election? You know, there's got to be a way.
Look, I'm really interested in all the discussion about an election. The only way I can see that happening is if there's a leadership challenge in the ALP, and the independents somehow, you know, swap sides to the point where the whole thing's unworkable. Historically, I don't think that's going to happen. I've never believed there's going to be an early election, and that's because any time there's been, a hung parliament like this in Australian history, which is back in the 1930s and I think one other time, the MPs want to hold on to power. So
right.
I reckon this government will go pretty close to the full term. I'm predicting it'll go to the 2.5 years at least. I could be wrong. Something may happen between now and then. No one really knows. But I'm just, this campaign against the carbon tax is for the long term. Obviously, we're hoping the legislation will fall over, that there will be a challenge to Julie Gillard's leadership in the next few weeks before the legislation actually goes through the Senate. That would be the ideal.
Mm.
We should certainly be encouraging the ALP to do that or face oblivion. That's something to be pointed out to the Labor Party. They're well aware of it. They face an unattractive choice as well. They either the tax falls over or they'll get decimated at the next federal election. I can't see how they're going to win the next federal election when the carbon tax is just so very unpopular and people feel so very strongly about it. If it was just a simple matter of the carbon tax being unpopular, but it wasn't an issue that would make or break, elections.
Yes.
Then you would say, well, who cares? But I've seen people's faces. I know from what I've seen, a random sample of Australians, you know, in Sydney, in Brisbane, and hearing reports from around the country, people feel very strongly about this issue. And if you campaign on nothing else but the carbon tax, I'm confident that if the legislation is passed and if the Labor Party still has it as their policy at the next federal election, they will be wiped out.
Now, I've heard, Tempi, that a large number, or unknown number, but that many Labor members are opposed to this privately, quietly.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know who they are. And I really think it could be very valuable for us to find out who are the closet, you know, anti-carbon tax people in the Labor Party. Because we need to out them. Like, we need to actually out them so that it's known that even within the Labor Party there is actually a lot of dissent against this.
Yes, well, that is mentioned quite often in the media, that is no doubt the case. I think that's a great strategy. I think anything at this stage could destabilise this government. I think the real issue on the minds of ALP MPs at the moment is, do they have the guts to topple Julie Gillard now?
Mm.
And this is a timing issue. Do they have the guts to do it right now before it gets all that much harder when the carbon tax is actually passed? Because they're in real trouble if they can't get rid of the carbon tax before they can't bury those bills before they're passed.
Yeah.
Because then they actually have the carbon tax as law. They're going down the track of implementing it, and it's going to be 10 times harder for them to repeal it or somehow get rid of it. The most likely thing, I reckon, is going to happen if the carbon tax is passed is that they'll talk about deferring it, but they'll still be annihilated at the next federal election.
Yes.
Because Tony Abbott has promised that it's his first, second and third priority, if he is elected as Prime Minister of this country, to repeal the tax. So the ALP really is in a very serious situation, and if they don't act right now, I can't see how they're going to be re-elected, and I think they're going to face the wilderness for two or three elections to come.
Yeah, look, I really like your positive aspect on this. It's really, really great to see confidence, right? And yeah, sorry, did you want to continue?
Well, I was just going to say that, sometimes when I'm campaigning in Queensland, I think to myself, what is the point? People hate this tax so much. Do I really need to stand beside the road? There are a few points. One is that we mustn't take any chances. We must defeat this tax. No stone must be left unturned. But the other is that from the research I've done, people are against the tax. They just need the confidence and the courage to realise that they are part of the majority and that they have, thirdly, that they have an option for getting rid of it. Because a lot of people do not understand that they can repeal the tax through their vote at an election. So the campaign that we're going to run, if this tax is passed into law, is a repeal carbon tax campaign. So the sign that we have currently says no carbon tax. If this legislation goes through, we're going to offer people a downloadable sign that says repeal carbon tax.
Yes.
And we're going to conduct our own polls beside the road so that not just we are aware of the majority of people being against the tax, but motorists can see it for themselves. We got this idea because, honestly, we're standing there thinking, this is ridiculous. So many people are against this tax. You know, 100 people in Kevin Rudd's electorate, I stood outside his electoral office, 100 people honked, tooted and waved at me, and in that time only 9 people opposed it.
Mm.
And that's the safest Labor seat in Queensland, the seat of our former Prime Minister. People in his electorate hate it. So the issue is to reflect that back to voters. Instead of going out there with a proactive campaign, just stand there and say, there's a poll ahead on the carbon tax. Have your vote, thumbs up or thumbs down. And then we're going to have people recording the poll results on a big whiteboard so motorists can actually read it. And then we're going to be inviting people to vote in the real ballot, and that is at the election on the issue. And just reminding people all the time they have never voted for a carbon tax. So this is their last and only chance to decide whether they really want it or not.
Absolutely. I really like that idea. I think it's a little bit more sophisticated. I mean, you've obviously got one sign warning people that the pole is coming, like saying the pole ahead, then the pole, and then presumably another sign further on with a tally of the current results. We'll get right back into that after the break.
The Oklahoma City bombing. Top 10 reasons to question the official story. Reason number 2, why was the ATF AWOL? Paramedic Tiffany Bible, who is on the scene within 5 minutes, has stated in an affidavit that agents of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms told her that they were not in their office that morning. EMT Catherine Mallett also overheard one agent say to another, quote, is that why we got the page to not come in today, end quote. Bruce Shaw, as interviewed on KFOR-TV, was also told by ATF agents that they had been paged to not come into work. The ATF initially denied these claims and now variously claim that one of their agents was in a free-falling elevator, which has been disproven, or that they'd been in an all-night stakeout, or that they'd been at a golf tournament. As they try to sort out their lies, all we want to know is, did the ATF receive a warning, and if so, why did they not pass it on to others in the Murr building? For more information, go to OKCBombingTruth.com.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, microplant powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
When you're sick of the propaganda, when you're over the disinformation, when you can't stand the deception, when the deceit gets too much, when the spin becomes transparent, you know where to turn. You turn on truthnews.com.au with your hosts, Harold Fenton and Joshua Jackson.
Welcome back to Truth News Radio Australia. So we've just been describing some of the techniques for the anti-carbon tax campaign. And Tempe, just to recap there on the technique that you're going to adopt, which will actually include a running tally, I would really like to do this in Sydney. I'd like to be part of it. In fact, I would actually like to film it. I probably need some listeners and whoever I can find. If anyone's listening to this and wants to get involved, please get in touch with me. We probably need a small team to do it. I'd like to film it. What do you think's the minimum number of people necessary to do this particular version of the protest, Tempe?
I think you'd need 4 people, preferably okay. 5. You have one person standing at the where the traffic first see the sign, saying carbon tax, motorist poll, or vote ahead, so people realise that there's about to be a vote and they don't have to get out of their cars to do it.
Yes.
And maybe another sign which says indicates thumbs up. For yes, you want the carbon tax, thumbs down for no.
Yes.
And then you have the scoreboard with 2 people, one counted the yes and one counted the no votes, and marking it off like you're in a jail, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and
yes.
then keeping a tally. So when you get 5, you put a 5 and then 10, 15, whatever, because people are voting quite fast.
Yes.
So that people can see the subtitle for the yeses and the noes as they're rushing by. And that'll give people a real kick. I can tell you, people are so excited even to see the no carbon tax sign.
Yes.
I think they'll be even more engaged if they realise this is a genuine poll. And I'm not afraid at all of recording, and I would only do it honestly, of course, of honestly recording the yeses and noes. I think it's very important to show that there are people who want the carbon tax as well as those who don't, but also to show that it's I'm sure that it will be, and I'll be interested to see what it is, something like 10 to 1 against it. And then you need a further person a bit further down the road with a sign saying, thank you for voting, the real poll, and a referendum on the carbon tax will be at the 2013 federal election. So that every single time that motorists go past that poll, they're reminded, this is a Mickey Mouse vote, they would like their real vote, thanks.
Yeah, that's a really great plan. I'm definitely going to try and action that as well.
And Hereward, could I just say something about the Greens here? Because
sure.
You did mention in the introduction that the real problem here is the Greens. And as long as that party, which of course is on the hard left, which is a party of big taxation, as long as that party it keeps being elected in Australia, this ugly carbon tax or ETS or whatever it is going to rear its head. So as much as a campaign against the carbon tax, the people that I'm campaigning with are campaigning against the Greens. I never ever go out on the road without campaigning against the Greens. My first sign just said, no carbon tax, no Greens, and there's a photo of that online somewhere. But look, the really important thing is to inform, especially young voters who don't really know too much about the Greens' agenda, that it is a party of big taxation. So we're going out there with signs like, you know, the Greens will wreck the economy, the Greens love taxing you, and such.
Yeah, look, you know, it's I think inevitable that the Greens are going to collapse in their support as well. I think that a lot of people turned to the Greens over the past years. Look, I voted for the Greens in 2004. I mean, you know, times have changed. I'm a different person to what I was back then. But I voted for the Greens because they were against the war. They were against the Iraq war. And, you know, I thought that was a good thing.
Yep.
And I still think that's a good thing.
Yep.
And it was only – I only gradually started to realize the problem. Like it just – and then as I saw what was happening, it became clearer and clearer. But a lot of us have been in that boat, and a lot of us, you know, were sympathetic to a lot of environmental causes. I'm still very sympathetic to many environmental causes.
Yes, but as we've seen from the former Soviet Union, that parties on the extreme left or extreme right or whatever, they tend to have a very poor environmental record. And I just want to say something about the jobs campaign also that the Greens are running.
Sure.
In Brisbane, they've had their green triangle, and instead of Greens or the Greens inside the triangle, they've got the message green jobs. And I saw a bunch of them about 6 months ago beside the road. Waving these signs around, and our sign, and we've got a list of slogans for people if they're looking for anti-Greens or anti-carbon tax slogans. Our sign says, "One green job costs three real jobs."
Yeah,
because that's the truth about green jobs, is they're not economic, and this is the real. This is the hard facts. It's not ideology or wishful thinking. The hard facts are that this whole green jobs, green economy thing is a pea and thimble trick, and basically people will lose their jobs. Just as the New South Wales Treasury has predicted that the carbon tax will result in something like 33,000 jobs being lost.
Yeah, it's basically cronyism. I mean, it's a partnership between all of those economic forces and banks that are backing this, that will mm-hmm. create these artificial jobs, which will just cost the money, and it's not organic, it's not real, and we're being deceived, and we're being deceived by the same financial oligarchies that have been deceiving us for generations, right? And And this just leads me into what I want to talk about in the time we've got left. I just really want to focus on the fact that the Occupy Wall Street movement, which has now swept America and has now come to Australia, is having protests in Brisbane, Sydney, and Melbourne this week. Now, I've been looking at all the websites for these movements, and unfortunately, and really disappoints me, there is absolutely no mention of the carbon tax in any of these groups. And I feel, because this is another, to me, very important, and in Truth News, we're covering a lot of this type of stuff. And what the Occupy Wall Street movement has been about is about the crony capitalist system and the banking cartels and the corporatist system, which are ripping people off. But unfortunately, I think many of the people who are going to be turning up at these protests haven't understood and are going to be co-opted into thinking that they are part of a people's movement which is somehow completely separate from what we know as this 90% who's against the carbon tax.
Mm.
which is ridiculous because they're the same people. They are the same people that got the same concerns. And the Occupy Federal Reserve, Occupy Reserve Bank in Sydney need to understand, and I only mean this in the most positive way, and I don't want to be confrontational about it, but I think we need to reach out and find a communication with the people that are running these movements, because if we could build this into a unified thing, it would be so powerful. It would be just unbelievable.
I have a feeling that this was, I haven't read too much about the Wall Street campaign, but I have a feeling it's very much a left-wing campaign. So I imagine that the people who are doing that, those protests, would be very much for the carbon tax. So you're talking about probably the extreme left of politics. Having said that, I do not believe in corporate welfare, and I think that this is talking from a personal point of view. I disagree with the government paying billions of dollars or millions of dollars to prop up banks. I believe they should fall over. Should fall over if they're not working, because you're just creating inefficient industries, and that can only harm people. So I think you'll probably find the reason that they're not out there chanting no carbon tax is they're very, very much left-wing activists who are running these campaign, these Wall Street campaigns.
What I think is happening is that, yeah, there are these dedicated hardcore left wing activists co-opting it, but a large number of people, because I've been watching a lot of the video feeds from New York, a lot of the people who are turning up are not, but they are being herded in that direction. And this is where I think it's time for its leadership is required. Leadership of the people who know what's going on and can reach out and actually explain to everyone what the issues are about the carbon tax, because the carbon tax is very much a banking scam. It is another way in which the banks are actually manipulating the system for their own benefit to make us poor. And so there is a huge opportunity, but you're quite right in saying there is this issue with the extreme left wing, but we have to, first of all, acknowledge it. We've got to see it, and we've got to see the issue, because the oligarchy has always wanted to have people's movements divided. When people's movements are divided, they become disempowered.
Look, the other way of looking at the tax take from the carbon tax is that it's just a huge slush fund for MPs, particularly MPs who believe in big government, to use to buy off voters. So there'll be, billions of dollars harvested through the carbon tax, and that money will be used and is being used through Julia Gillard's carbon tax compensation to transfer wealth, and also to people who are more likely to vote for the ALP. It's a cynical exercise in pork barreling, a lot of it. The great thing is that even though Julia Gillard and the ALP and the Greens are promising to take our money and, hand it back out, the people who are supposed to be the beneficiaries of this are deeply suspicious. I'm so proud of Australians that they smell a rat with the carbon tax, and they're not going to be bought off. Especially with their own money. I think they realise it's just going around in a big circle, and that there are many beneficiaries, as you've just mentioned, like banks and businesses who are going to cream this money from us, who are not normal people.
Yeah, they're not normal people in the sense that they've got an elitist kind of concept of who they are. And, they are the tiny, tiny, 0.01%. Of the population.
But we can't ignore them, because it's because of these people that we have the tax, because they perceive they're getting something out of it. And the great irony is that the people who are campaigning against the tax are not, they've got no vested interest really in the whole thing. There's no money, I might just say, to fight the carbon tax. That's why the campaign that I'm talking to you about does not require any funding whatsoever. It's just stand beside a road with a no carbon tax sign. What we're finding with this campaign is the government people are using our money to fight us, as Julia Gillard did, using millions of dollars in her letterbox propaganda on the carbon tax to fight us. The Get Up and other movements are getting green funding from the federal government to fight us.
Great. Finish up, in order to get the sign to download, www.family.org.au.
Email sales@nocarbontax.com.au.
Great. sales@nocarbontax.com.au. You can email you directly. Okay, well, We'll be hopefully getting something along the lines of what you've done happening in Sydney. Look, thanks so much for today.
Thank you very much, Harold. That was a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been great talking to you, and we'll keep in touch, and I'm sure we'll win.
We will. We're going to win this.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's a wrap from TNRA. Please get back to us via the website if you would like to participate in a roadside polling exercise.
The Bible remains the most popular book in the world, yet countless readers are frustrated because they struggle to understand it. Some new translations try to help by simplifying the text, but in the process can compromise the profound meaning of the scripture. Enter the Recovery Version. First, this new translation is extremely faithful and accurate, but the real story is the more than 9,000 explanatory footnotes. Difficult and profound passages are opened up in a marvelous way, providing an entrance into the riches of the Word beyond which you've ever experienced before. Bibles for America would like to give you a free recovery version simply for the asking. This comprehensive yet compact study Bible is yours just by calling us toll-free at 1-888-551-0102 or by ordering online at freestudybible.com. That's freestudybible.com.